Thank you all for attending. I'm Sonam Samat. This work was done while I was at Carnegie Mellon with, in collaboration with Alessandro Quisti and Linda Babcock. So I want to start by giving you sort of an overview of how the targeted advertising industry works. So imagine that we have a web surfer, and let's say he's surfing on the Macy's website. In doing so, the surfer is sharing with Macy's his browsing information, perhaps even his demographic information. Now, Macy's might decide to sell that information to a data broker. Data brokers are entities that are collecting information about users, consumers, from several different sources, both online and offline. An example of an offline source might be a grocery store selling, you know, their loyalty card information to a data broker. Data brokers then create these profiles of consumers where they're collecting all of this information from different sources in order to mine and analyze that information to figure out what products a user might want to buy, and then show one such product on perhaps another website, in this case CNN.com, perhaps at another time than when the user was interacting with Macy's. So this is a very generalized overview of how the targeted advertising industry works, and there are two aspects that I think are super important and interesting that I want to draw your attention to. The first aspect is that, at least currently, this industry is primarily self-regulated. So what that means is that the industry players themselves, the folks involved in collecting and mining this information, are deciding how the information should be collected, how much information should be collected, and how ads should be displayed to consumers. The second aspect that I want to draw your attention to is the fact that as far as the user is concerned, a large part of this targeting happens behind the scenes. So the user mostly interacts with that Macy's website, with CNN's website, and isn't always aware of what's happening in terms of the targeting behind the scenes. So in this research paper, we looked at what would happen if we raise the curtains. So in another sense to put this is, if we made users aware of the fact that they're seeing a targeted ad, how would that impact their attitudes towards the ad and purchase intentions towards the product that's being targeted in the ad? And why this is interesting relates back to that self-regulated aspect is that, you know, because the industry is self-regulated, we want to understand whether the industry is incentivized in any way to make consumers aware. And that crucially depends on how awareness about targeting will impact purchase intentions. So let's look at what is currently happening in terms of awareness. So the Federal Trade Commission has made recommendations to this self-regulated ad industry that you ought to make consumers aware of when an ad is targeted, give them the ability to opt out, provide notice for what you're doing. And in response, the industry came up with these two icons that are being shown today on targeted ads. And the goal of the icons is to communicate the fact that this is a targeted ad. You can actually click on the icon and it takes you to a page that educates consumers about how to opt out of targeted advertising. But researchers have found that that's not really what's being communicated. So in this one particular study, 53% of the participants believed that this icon, just more ads would pop up if they click on this icon. And 45% believe that that tagline, ad choices, is actually trying to sell them ad space. So it's not really getting to the point that it was meant to set out for. Now, again, this highlights the importance of the question that is the advertising industry really incentivized to make consumers aware? I want to direct your attention now towards some previous research, and why this research question is particularly interesting is because previous research supports two contradicting hypotheses. So on the one hand, we do find support for hypotheses that making consumers aware that an ad is targeted may improve their attitudes and may increase purchase intentions. But we also find support for the other hypothesis that the same awareness might decrease purchase intentions. So I don't have time yet to go through all of it, but let me just highlight one previous research. So in 2016, Summers and colleagues found that when an ad is targeted to a user, that can act as an implied social label. So as an example, if a user is shown a targeted ad for an environmentally friendly product, Summers and colleagues found that that makes the user think that the advertiser thinks of him or her as an environmentally friendly person, so an implied social label, which then might change their own perceptions about how environmentally friendly they are and may actually lead to change in behavior towards environmentally friendly products. So along the same lines, if making you aware that you're seeing a targeted ad can lead through that chain down to the fact that you're more likely to want to buy the product. On the other hand, we do find support for the fact that in independent surveys, consumers report finding targeted ads to be creepy, and personalization is perceived to be creepy. In a nationally representative survey, we found that individuals report not wanting to see targeted ads, but not knowing how to opt out of it. So that kind of gives us support for the negative hypothesis, that simply making someone aware that an ad is targeted might remind them that they're constantly being tracked, might remind them of this whole back end that's collecting their information, and they may retaliate by not clicking on the ad, by not wanting to purchase the product. So it's an open question. Let me tell you how we hypothesize this effect. So we're interested in understanding how awareness that an ad is targeted might impact attitudes and purchase intentions. And we believe a crucial factor here is your opinions about targeting as a practice. So if you are someone who thinks targeted advertising is a good practice, we think this effect for you will be positive. But if you're someone who believes targeting is a negative practice, then this effect might be negative. This led us to design three studies. I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the three studies. So the first two studies are primarily focused on building a scale that can help us measure opinions towards targeted advertising, because previous research didn't provide that. Because we believe opinions towards targeted advertising is that crucial moderator variable, we need a reliable way to measure that. So in the first study, we conduct this exploratory study where we collect open-ended responses to these scenarios that describe a targeted ad, and we ask participants, how would you feel about this? We use those open-ended questions to then build a scale, open-ended responses to then build a scale, validate that scale. And the final study, that evaluation study, is where we're testing how awareness that an ad is targeted might impact your attitudes and purchase intentions, and whether opinions truly acts as a moderator variable or not. So for the first study, we recruited participants from Mechanical Turk. As I said, we showed them hypothetical scenarios that involved a targeted ad, and we had a few different scenarios. I'll just talk about one of them. And we asked participants after they read the scenario, how would you feel if you experienced this scenario? It was an open-ended text box. So let me show you one scenario that we had. We told participants, imagine that you're looking to buy a new pair of shoes online. You look at a few different websites that sell shoes, you find a pair that you like on a website that you've never visited before. You spend some time looking at this particular pair of shoes, and then you move on to doing something else. You have not decided whether or not you want to buy that particular pair of shoes. A few days later, you're reading an article on the New York Times website, and you notice that the advertisement next to the article is for the same pair of shoes that you were looking at before. You realize that your browsing history has been tracked, and it was being used to display this targeted ad to you. So we had a few different versions of this, but basically each version described a targeted advertising scenario and asked participants, hey, if you experienced this, how would you feel? We had 111 participants from Mechanical Turk, and two independent coders read and coded each of these open-ended responses, and the inter-rater reliability was above 0.7, which is the accepted threshold. So let me show you what we found. In response to the question, how would you feel if you experienced this scenario, our coders found eight different categories, ranging from neutral, positive, mixed, to a whole range of negative. So on the y-axis, I'm showing you the percentage of responses that fell in that category. So let's start with the neutral. We had about 37% of the responses categorized as a neutral response. So an example of this would be, I'd feel fine, that's pretty normal. I would have neutral feelings about this scenario. A relatively smaller percentage of participants had either positive or mixed opinions. So an example of a positive opinion response was, I would feel interested, or I would find this helpful. And a mixed response was, I would not like that my information was tracked, but I would also be interested in checking out those shoes. And a whole range of negative responses, ranging from, I would be slightly annoyed if this happened, I would find this weird or strange, I would not like it, that's the dislike bar, I would be angry or upset, or I would feel like my privacy is violated. So it was an interesting range that finally kind of gave us two big buckets. One was the neutral, one was the negative, but also the positive and mixed bucket, which was relatively smaller. So as I said, the main goal from the study was to try and build a scale, because it's not practical to always ask open-ended responses. So we used the most common sentences that our participants gave us in these open-ended responses. So the 14 most common ways in which our participants communicated feeling about targeted advertising. And as you can see, they ranged from all four different categories: the neutral, positive, mixed, and negative. So the next thing for us to do was to validate this scale. I'm going to just quickly go over study two, sort of if you're interested in more details, they're in the paper. So there were two parts to study two. The first part was study 2A, where we tried to consolidate the scale down from 14 to a 6-item scale. And we conducted exploratory factor analysis. And the goal there was, well, how many underlying constructs are we really measuring with these 6 items? And in study 2B, with that 6-item scale, we did confirmatory factor analysis to confirm that underlying factor structure. We measured the convergent validity as well as divergent validity. So we wanted to make sure our scale is reliable, but is measuring something distinct from previous scales that have been built in the same domain, but not so much for the same construct. We also measured test, retest reliability. So we asked the same participants to answer the same scale with a 2-week gap, and we looked at the correlation between the responses in the two instances. So I don't have the time to go over full details here, but I can tell you as an overview, this is our 6-item scale that is highly reliable, measured by a Cronbach's alpha of 0.92, is distinct from previous scales that we measured it against. So we measured against the internet, IUIPC, Internet Users Information Privacy Scale, as well as the general decision-making scale and a risk-taking scale. So it measures a different concept from these three scales. It measures a single underlying construct, which makes things a lot easier for us. And it has high test, retest reliability. So I highly encourage you, if you're conducting research that needs to measure individuals' opinions about targeted advertising, now we have a validated scale for that. And participants are to respond to, sorry, are to tell us how strongly they agree or disagree with each of these 6 sentences. And now to the most interesting study. So we had study 3, which was the evaluation study. How does awareness about targeting impact attitudes and purchase intentions? And does this effect really depend on opinions? So to evaluate that, we conducted a 2-phase study. In phase 1, we recruited participants from Mechanical Turk. These were not participants that had participated in any of our previous studies. And originally, initially, we just measured their opinions about targeted advertising using our validated scale. We wanted unbiased opinions that were not influenced by any stimuli that we were going to show them. And then in phase 2, 2 weeks later, the same participants were invited to a new study. And in a gist, they were randomized in 1 of 2 conditions. In one condition, they were shown an ad, and they were made aware of the fact that this is a targeted ad. In another condition, they were shown the same ad. They were not told that this is a targeted ad. And we measured attitudes towards the product as well as purchase intentions towards the product. Now, I know an immediate question might be, where did the ad come from? How was it really targeted? And so I want to give you a little more detail as to how phase 2 worked out. So in the beginning of phase 2, all participants went through a shopping task. And I should mention that the shopping task as well as the ad is entirely a replication of the Summers paper that's in the Journal of Consumer Research. So all participants went through this shopping task where for 6 household items, we showed them different options, and they were asked, which one would you select if you were shopping for light bulbs or laundry detergents? So as an example, these were the 4 light bulb options that we showed to our participants. And in a pilot study, we had confirmed that at least 1 in each category was perceived to be environmentally friendly. So in these 4 options, a pilot study had confirmed that the 3rd and the 4th option on the right were perceived to be environmentally friendly, and there was at least 1 in each of those 6 product categories. So our goal with this is to make it plausible that we, the researchers, may have interpreted, if you selected any one of those environmentally friendly options, that you're someone who's interested in being environmentally friendly, while also not making the targeting too obvious. So after participants completed the shopping task, they were asked to complete an advertisement evaluation task. So in the awareness condition, participants were told, our software will customize an advertisement for you based on your responses from the shopping task that you completed earlier. They were shown an advertisement for a speaker that is environmentally friendly. Again, this is based also on the Summers et al. Paper. it was highlighted as a targeted advertisement. They were reminded that this is based on your shopping choices earlier. We also had the ad choices icon. Even though it doesn't work, it's perhaps something they're used to seeing. In the no awareness condition, same product, same advertisement, not highlighted as being a targeted ad. They were not told this was in any way based on their shopping choice decisions, and there was no ad choices icon. We measured attitudes towards the product. How much do you like this product? As well as purchase intentions. How likely are you to buy this product? Let's see what we find. So if we look at all participants together, we see no difference between the awareness and the no awareness condition on our attitudes measure. But because we had collected their opinions in that phase one, we could separate our analysis for people who have positive or neutral opinions from people who have negative opinions. And so if we look at folks who had positive opinions, we still don't find support for our positive hypothesis. We don't find that making you aware this is a targeted ad makes you more likely to like the product. But we do find that if you're someone who does not like targeted advertising, telling you that this is a targeted ad makes you less likely to like the ad. And I should remind you that, you know, when they communicated their opinions about targeted advertising was 2 weeks gap between when they told us how they feel about this product. Sort of a similar story with purchase intentions, although the effect in the negative opinions was marginally significant. But this kind of brings me to now, why is this even important? What have we found and why should anyone care about it? The revenue from the online advertising market just in the first quarter of this year was $19.6 billion. So this is a huge market. And several people have negative opinions about targeted advertising. Just our research shows that 53% of our participant pool had negative opinions in that first exploratory study, that even other researchers have found in surveys that 66%, or in another case, 55% of their participants, which were a nationally representative sample, said they don't like targeted ads, they don't want to see targeted ads. So my point here is that even if the effect of telling you that this is a targeted ad is really small for those people who have negative opinions, it still might mean millions of dollars for the advertising world. Which brings me to the conclusion that we believe the self-regulated advertising industry is not incentivized to make consumers aware when they're showing them a targeted ad, which begs the question of whether simple recommendations from the Federal Trade Commission are enough to achieve this goal of consumer privacy, or if we really need more regulations to help consumers protect their privacy and make informed decisions. That's it. I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, great work. I love Thanks. To see people making scales. I was wondering how you think it would have impacted things if the scenario or the awareness told them that this product was actually like cheaper or in some way more geared toward their preferences? Like, do you think they still would have had that effect or would that mitigate it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of other factors, as you rightly point out. You know, price is a huge factor. In this study, our goal was to maintain everything else the same. So we didn't show price in our speaker advertisement or in the hypothetical scenarios of exploratory study. But I would be very interested in running something similar to this with another dimension, so where we manipulate an objective factor, such as price or how quickly it'll be shipped or all the other things that consumers take into account. I do think there might be sort of if I were to hypothesize, I think the effect might change in terms of the size, but I would still think the direction would be the same.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So if I'm remembering your results right, it looked like there wasn't much of an effect on buying, but a lot of negative opinions towards an object.
So the attitudes measure was significantly negative for the negative opinions.
Yeah, so what I'm curious if it, it's hard to know, but if it wouldn't really affect their buying, would regulation that enforced them to know do nothing for behavior but just make people more miserable online?
It's a good point. So actually, it's not that we didn't find an effect. We found a marginally significant effect in the same direction for purchase intentions. And what this means is that the effect size perhaps is small, which is why I was talking about the fact that, you know, this is a huge industry. So if we are to leave the decision to the self-regulated industry, considering the millions of dollars that might be lost, even if there is a very small effect on 50% of people who we know have negative opinions, I don't think they're incentivized to go in that direction then. But on the other hand, what you're pointing out is, what if it's just an attitudes effect? It's not so much that it's going to translate into dollars. I think from a policymaker's perspective, I think that's still important. Perhaps then the industry might care less about it. That's what my opinion would be.
Maybe a related question then on the ecological validity of these small measures. How much, if you're telling them, hey, this is targeted, it makes them aware that you don't like targeted stuff in your survey. So they have a chance that they're going to say, we also are less likely to buy because they think that's what you're looking for. Do you think you had enough sample size to compensate for that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So for in order to avoid that sort of, I just told you I don't like targeted ads, and now you're showing me what you're saying is a targeted ad, I should not tell you that I don't like it. That's why we separated those two measures. So we asked them for their opinions. At one point, 2 weeks later, we make them go through the shopping task, and then we ask them, how do you feel about this ad? We tried our best to kind of disconnect these two studies. For any given reason, participants didn't know it was the same, even people conducting the study, but that could have played a role, yes. Thanks.
Some of my friends and I have come up with a term for something, we call it being stalked by an ad. You look at something, and so if you looked at the frequency of seeing a targeted ad and saying, okay, you showed this to me on 5 different web pages, in the corner, down at the bottom, over at the side.
Yeah. I think it's there's a lot of different fascinating factors. The frequency with which you're seeing the same ad, how sensitive that product is, whether you were looking at a wedding dress for a friend and now you're being stalked by this wedding dress advertisement and you're not looking to get married. There's a lot of these factors.
And look at a scooter and you will get... they will immediately try to sell you adult diapers and...
Yeah, so there's a lot that I think the industry can do better in terms of, you know, getting the targeted ads right. This was, for us, a first step. So all of those factors, including the price, are things that we're looking at in terms of future research. So you can think of another dimension that we manipulate things on while also doing the awareness, no awareness manipulation. But we haven't yet concretely factored that, so thanks.
Thank you.